There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson.
John, have you heard the big news? Jesse Marsh has joined LinkedIn.
Yeah, I have heard that, yeah.
Why has he done that?
Well, I think anybody who puts on their other social media platforms, I'm really pleased to have joined whatever it is. LinkedIn, Seven Seas. This sort of suggests there's a sort of financial incentive to that to me. Football has its highs and lows, and I really believe that there's so much that sport and business can learn from one another. I'm not quite sure what Jesse Marsh could teach businesses, really.
Oh man, you know what? I love it when footballers do that. It's like a sort of classic ex-footballer line of income, isn't it? Is like businesses will get them in and they'll go, you know, when we were 1-0 down in Euro 92, we pulled together like a team. And that's what Safestyle UK need to do, is they deliver their triple glazed windows in the third quarter. You're like, I'm not sure what you can learn as a double glazing salesman from what Lee Dixon did at Arsenal.
But I don't know. It's one of those, as a Leeds fan, is it as bad as when we went to Flamingo Land? Probably not. So I can take the manager joining LinkedIn. I'd rather there were less of that.
The thing is, Flamingo Man Land was local and crucially funny. It sounds daft. Whereas LinkedIn is, he seems to be suggesting, excited to share what I can and to learn from you all, suggests that he's going to start interacting with people on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it suggests to me that he doesn't really understand what LinkedIn is. It strikes me as a prank. I mean, I don't know. I assure you get the emails as well about joining LinkedIn. They dried up for me. I don't know if that's as a result of my professional decline or whether they got the message, but it doesn't strike me as a platform where the brightest and best brains are learning from each other. It's not the Bilderberg group, is it?
No, I mean, I've never understood why a comedian would be on LinkedIn anyway.
No.
What can we do on there? It's not like we're going to go, oh, get me a job as a better comedian.
The picture of him as well, and this speaks to... it's difficult because we've got some big games coming up. So we've got Brentford coming up and we've got the Nottinghamshire Reds coming up. If we win those, much like Nottinghamshire Reds have done, we go sort of mid-table and suddenly you think, well, we're probably going to be all right this season. There's three teams worse than us. Lose those, or I would argue even draw those, and I think we're going to get relegated. So it's sort of too early to pile in on Jesse Marsh. And yet at the same time, it's very quickly going to be too late to save our season. And yet the picture of him sort of celebrating joining LinkedIn, for me, what you're saying is sport, business, it's all about thriving. It's all about getting ahead. I understand that. You guys understand that. So for me, as a business person looking to see what I can learn from Jesse Marsh, I sort of want to see him holding a trophy, or do you know what I mean? Or even with the team at Wembley or something. It's just a picture of him sort of fist pumping his way across the pitch. And given that he's 1-2 in 17, you would assume that that fist pump has come probably after a draw. So I'm not quite sure what he's saying. Guys, if you want to learn how to grossly over-celebrate, I mean, this weekend, a perfect example, a defeat at Aston Villa. Again, you sort of look at it two ways. Aston Villa, are they fellow strugglers, or they've won something like six of their last two games, I read, under Unai Emery? He's undoubtedly one of the best managers in Europe. You know, they're on the ascendant, or they're fellow strugglers. We haven't beaten Villa. We failed to beat Everton. We failed to beat West Ham. We failed to beat Southampton. We failed to beat Leicester. We haven't beaten any of the teams around us. But for the result at Liverpool, which, whilst it was exceptional, is an outlier, we're in the bottom three now.
I think what I find funny about him is he seems to consistently get the tone wrong. I watched Villa Leeds on Friday night. It was a phenomenal game of football. I messaged you about it. I was convinced you were going to get a point. Friend of the show, Patrick Bamford, scored. His post-match interview where he goes, I would rather lose games and play like that than win games and learn. You're like,
That's the best performance since I got here. Really?
What?
I think we just lost, didn't we? Not the Liverpool game.
You know, it's not the... NFL, you know, you do get relegated, Jesse.
Well, that is exactly where we're at. I think there's a sort of belief at the moment that we're always unlucky, but there seems to be a sort of belief that you can't get relegated if you're unlucky.
Do you think it's going to get to the end of the season? You're going to be in the bottom three and they're going to go, you're in the championship. What? What the hell? No, we were just unlucky, dude. You can't do that to my ass.
I think more likely what he'd say is, well, the championship is a great division. You can't spell championship without champions, you know? So it's an honor to be in the championship and going to places like Burnley. Oh, Burnley actually got promoted. They're back in the Premiership. Well, good luck to those guys, you know? But equally, as I say all this, I'm very aware if we beat Brentford, I watched the highlights. There were some decent passages of play against Aston Villa. If we beat Brentford, if we beat Forest, suddenly you're like, oh, maybe I was too harsh on him. But at the moment, it doesn't look great. What's it like being a Forest fan at the moment? Semi-finals of the Cup, mid-table, all your signings, they all know each other now. They pass to each other, they score goals. What's that? What's that like?
It's really good, man. I made it up last Wednesday for the quarter-final against Wolves, and the penalty shootout goes straight to penalties after 90, which is great. And all the penalties were down our end. We missed the first one.
They went right up your end? I didn't see that on the news.
And it was, so we missed the first one. You think, oh, God, here we go. And then Henderson saves two. And it's just brilliant. Just so much fun to go to a game that's won on penalties. Gets you into the League Cup semi-final. I mean, we've got Man United, so that slightly tempers the thrill. But still, well, actually, we're up to 13th. Beating Leicester at the weekend is great. Keeping a clean sheet in the Premier League is great. Brendan Johnson scoring twice. It's very, very exciting. So obviously, but in a way, just like you don't want to be prematurely negative, I don't want to be prematurely positive. There's still a long way to go, but it does feel like something has clicked and the next run of fixtures is not as bad as it was before the World Cup. So I do feel pretty positive, John. I do feel, and I've got to tell you, John, the food I had at Forest the other night.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Crikey. I had a sausage roll.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Standard.
Then I had a chorizo scotch egg.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of doom bars at halftime.
Ooh, lovely.
Don't mind if I don't.
Oh, hello. A real round the world journey.
Woke up in the morning. What wrappers were on my bedside table?
Ooh. Chocolate?
Nope.
Crisps? Ice cream?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'd had a McFlurry.
Oh, I wouldn't call that a wrapper.
Well, okay, container.
Container. Yeah, you led me down the garden path there. You know what you were doing. You tried to make me look stupid on the podcast. You've embarrassed me in front of our listeners. You've embarrassed me in front of our listeners.
I'd definitely been to Mackie D's. But I'd also been. I started to get
Taco Bell.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Ring that Taco Bell. So I'd gone to Taco Bell, had a taco, then gone to McDonald's, got a hamburger. And then I'd, for some reason, taken the McFlurry, cradled the McFlurry, got into a taxi back to my hotel and eaten it upright in bed.
That's the best way to eat melted ice cream, upright.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought, I've got to do this more often. A thrilling, thrilling time to be a Forest fan. Very exciting thing. And we've signed...
You just had the 2 pints? Just the 2 doom bars?
Oh, no, that was just at half time.
Go on.
Well, I'd had a couple before and a couple after. Ended up in a bar called the Raglan Road. I don't know if you hear it. I believe it's part owned by Andy Reid, former Forest winger and now Forest coach. And it was one of those where you go, oh, we'll just go for a couple of beers afterwards. And then all of a sudden it's 1 a.m. You're like, what? You know, when time just sort of folds, you're like, this is some Chris Nolan shit. You're like, I got here at 10 and now it's 1, but I don't understand. I've only had 15 Magnus. I was on the Magnus as well. I was like, oh, no.
That's always a bad sign when you're on the Magnus.
When you've gone to the Magnus, you're like, that's because I must have been parched of lager.
Yeah, that's because you've had too much beer. At the point at which you need to stop drinking, you switch to a even worse beverage. Sort of like getting to the end of a curry and being full and saying, I can't have another bit of curry or I'll be sick. Bring me a Knickerbocker Glory with chips on top.
Yeah. And don't spare the mash, pal. Yeah. Got a real craving for mash at the moment. It must be the weather conditions. Now, John, you live further north.
It's January, isn't it?
You live further north than me. What's it like up there? Is it a frozen landscape?
Well, it's very much how we hope Forest's points tally will be after the Leeds game. It's -3 here today. It's re called.
Talking of points below, I'm now way above you in the FPL league, yes. And I beat you again this week.
So first time ever? Is that the first time you've been ahead of me in the league?
I think properly. I think there was a brief sort of midweek rise, but I'm 15th, you're 18th. I scored 59 points this week to your paltry 43. However, you've still got some players to play. Are you going to make any changes going into the next game week, John?
No, I'm not going to open the app.
Okay, I mean, that'll do it. Haaland, then. Talk to me about Manchester City, because we both captained Haaland. I believe most people did last week. I really wish I'd captained Rashford, given the form that
he blanked.
He did
blank. That's the term, isn't it? He blanked.
City, at the moment, don't look great, do they?
What happened? They lost.
They lost to Man United.
Oh, because of the awful goal. I mean, that is an awful decision, isn't it? And you benefited from that. Of course you did, because of course you have Rashford in your team. So you very much sup with the devil there.
Sup with the devil?
Supping with the red devils, aren't you? Taking Rashford, points Rashford from Manchester feeds, United players.
Feeds kids. Were you the Daily Mail?
I'm talking about Manchester United. I'm not talking about Marcus Rashford.
Rashford's the player I've got.
I know. And I hope you're happy with that.
I am happy with that. He's a good man. He feeds kids. He scores
goals. He's a
good
man at a bad club. There are no other good clubs in the league. I hate all of them. If you're listening and you're not a Leeds fan, I hate your club and I hope they get relegated. Sadly, we're going to get relegated.
You're not. You say this every year and you don't. It's rubbish.
Well, admittedly, I didn't say it the first year we were back. I said it last year and we survived on the last day. Yeah. And I'm saying it this year. And... tricky. I can't see us. We've got Rutter. We've just signed a player called Rutter. Things getting very exciting at Leeds. We've now got Willie Nonto, Robin Koch, and Jorginho Rutter. So that's nice, isn't it? Great for the headline writers.
It is. How do you pronounce Willie's surname?
Nonto.
He is phenomenal.
He is, isn't he?
My God.
Good.
Really,
yeah.
Really uses his. Hips and ass.
Well, he's your classic Lionel Messi, Maradona, low centre of gravity, loves running at people.
Big ass.
Just a wonderful player.
He's great. I love the way he uses it to you know, there's not enough chat in football. They talk about ball control, obviously big conversation about whether players should head the ball. Goalkeepers, obviously, a lot of focus on the hands. But it's an under analysed area of some players' games is just being able to use the hips. Use your bum. But I am beating you in the FPL. That is the main thing.
Yeah, it's great news. I'm going to put out an appeal now to anybody in the Diamond Club who wants to take over the management of my team while I'm on tour.
Hang on. You can't be getting outside help.
I'm not talking about outside help. I'm talking about bringing in a new man. You know, I'm talking about fully Aston Villa-ing it. Sometimes you've got to say this isn't working and you just bring in someone else.
What, to run your team?
Yeah. Winner stays on. Anyone who beats 40 stays on.
Okay.
If you lose, then we'll get someone else in.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it. Sod it. I'll take all of you.
You're flying high at the moment. Do you know the problem I have? I'm never going to pick any Manchester United players. Leeds are obviously struggling. So I invite anybody on the Another Slice platform to take over the management of my team for this week. If you email us via the usual channels, you can instruct our producer what changes you want to make to the team. I think anybody who beats 40 will get a prize.
Yeah.
Based on that week's news.
We'll figure something out. Let's not overly worry about the detail, but Another Slice subscribers can take over the management of John Richardson's FPL team. Email us hello@cpfpl.com. Now, someone has been in touch this week, John.
Yes.
On WhatsApp, our mutual friend Danny sent us a great video of a West Ham fan. After a game, I think this is from last season, but it's still very good. And it's, well, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
They should have come over there, right? They should have come over there and give us the f***ing shirts, right? They get paid 50 under grand a week, right? We come up here, well, we pay a f***ing fortune to get here, and they can't even be bothered to f***ing give us a shirt. They don't f***ing pay for the f***ing shirts. They could give us their f***ing underpants, their f***ing shirts, their f***ing shorts, their f***ing socks, right? And them f***ing don't give us f***ing all. And if they f***ing say this, I'm f***ing f*** off. I'm telling you, they're right, they want to come out here. I want every f***ing shirt next time I come here. They come here and they go, there he is, full kit wanker, give him a f***ing shirt, because I'm telling you, they're f***ing dog shit. And if they don't pick up their game, we'll be f***ed. We'll be playing them f***ing in South London, f***ing Millwall, right? And that's it. I've got to go. I've got to have a beer.
As a knob would say, lots to unpack there, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the redeeming factor is when he's there's no self deprecation in there until he gets to, and then also there he is, full kit wanker. You think, well, there's a rational person in there. I think he's one of those people. If a footballer did do that, so let's say Benrahma walks up to him after a game and literally strips naked and gives him every piece of clothing he has on, I think he'd be ranting about that after. What's he fucking doing coming out here, taking his underpants off? He's making a laughing stock at a club. I don't want his socks.
But also, people who get that angry about football. Now, in the moment, obviously, we all do. Oh, come on, what, referee? But to still be ranting after a game in that way, you're like, he is like that all day long, that fella. There's no way he's not like that, you know, when he goes to Sainsbury's. Oh, do you mean you ain't got the beans? I come here every week, give me the beans. They should be giving the beans, the tomatoes, the oats, the honey, the trying to think of other tin stuff, John. The soup.
Yeah, you've run out when you got to honey, I thought. Tinned honey.
I was just thinking of other stuff. I was looking around my local Sainsbury's, and what I often do is go to the tin dial and then wheel back to deal with the honey and the bread. What? I mean, I do. It's just how I live my life.
You go straight to tins. The whole design of the supermarket is designed so that you see the fruit and you think you're being healthy, so that by the time you get to crisps, you're like, well, I bought them kumquats. Let's get the Pringles in.
Well, no, I went straight to tins for the purpose of this sketch. Of course, if you want to know, I go straight in. Onions first. Onions, garlic, ginger, chili, and then you're sort of around to swede, leek, courgette. Wheel round for tomatoes, peppers, lettuce. Oh, God. Bananas, apples, oranges, lettuce. Did I say that? Maybe the odd avocado. And
still
then,
getting your shopping delivered on the whole? Still doing a weekly big shop?
Well, what happens is, John, obviously, is I get a base stock delivered on Saturdays, but then throughout the week, obviously, certain things dwindle. You may cook more than you expected. Sometimes, in our line of work, you are away, and then you would need to shop less. But if you're at home more, you will eat more, and you will need to shop more. You know, this is just how I live my life. If this helps other people, then, you know, that's just a great side effect.
Yeah, it's sort of Marsh-esque, this sort of motivational speech about the basics. You know, perhaps some of the Leeds players are looking for direct tactical advice on where they should be when we haven't got the ball and such. And I would really ask what sort of listener do you think is benefiting from the advice that when you've run out of food, you go to the shop? Who is it you're picturing?
Well, actually, you facetious swine. What happens is sometimes when people run out of food, they go, oh, sod it, I'll just get a pizza now. I did that Friday night and I hadn't run out of food, so go figure. But I think just, you know, not to be all Jordan Peterson about it, but get off your backside, go to the shop, buy some fresh veg, and your life will be better. It really will. And particularly if you're making a soup, you've got to have celery in it. When it doesn't have celery in it, we're all worse off. And that's
I'm a big fan of celery.
You've got to have it in your soup. Now, I would never have it anywhere else, John. I don't like it in anywhere else, but it gives it a deep meatiness and depth of flavour that you just cannot get any other way.
You don't eat it raw?
No, but I'll tell you what, I've started eating raw in the morning. Can you guess?
Yeah.
One guess. Raw in the morning.
A vegetable?
Well, it's obviously, I'm saying it in a way that suggests that it's perhaps an unusual thing to just eat raw in the morning.
Onion?
No, but I I'm just going to tell you, ginger.
You don't eat raw ginger in the morning.
I do. I just cut myself a couple of slices of raw ginger and I just eat them for my immune system. You're shocked to silence. What's so weird about that?
I've never heard of anyone eating raw ginger before. Literally, you have me stunned. If we could perhaps change a much-loved feature to Rico's hyperbole, this is one of the most staggering revelations in human history.
We've only started doing it in the last 3 weeks.
You've been eating raw ginger in the morning for 3 weeks. In a juice, of course. In a juice. I've had some this morning in a juice. But what do you do? Just take a slice and chomp down on it?
Yeah, just chew it and eat it. It's just so good for your immune system. I'm like, well, the problem is it's very hard to put it in something else first thing in the morning, isn't it? But I'm like, I need it in the morning to give me immunity during the day. So I just chop off a couple of slices.
Does it work like that? If you had ginger before bed, would you not get the benefit the next day?
I don't know. There's just sort of a logic to having it in the morning, isn't there? If it's good for you.
I think you picture it like the sort of ready breath glow that you eat the ginger and you get like a force field around you for the next 6 hours. Like before you get on a busy tube, you just pop a little bit in just for that little bit of extra protection.
There's probably a bit of dopey logic to that though, isn't there?
There's a bit of dopey logic to it, yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good new feature.
Dopey logic?
Yeah, Rico and Fordy's dopey logic. And this week, my dopey logic is, if I have a bit of ginger in the morning, it gives me a level of immunity in the day.
Do you think we've got any sort of macrobiotic or immune experts listening? Who do you think, broadly, we had fun asking you to identify individual listeners. If you had to identify the broad fan base of this show and their expertise, what would you say?
High achievers, high flyers, predominantly sort of FTSE 100, blue chip, go-getters, high flyers, sort of thrusting young Turks with the world at their feet.
Yeah. What shoes do they wear?
Shiny ones.
Shiny.
Really shiny, pointy ones. And they wear them with tailored trousers.
What car do they drive?
Oh, a high-end electric Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tesla crew, is it?
Tesla crew 98. Now, I just want to wheel back to that video, John. What do you feel about men who want, or children, asking for footballers' shirts?
Well, I mean, you've sort of grouped them together as if there isn't a massive distinction.
Okay, let's unpack them. By all means, separate and do your logic, boy.
I think men asking for shirts is tragic. And I think children asking for shirts is entirely understandable. And I think the line is very clear there. I remember once going to kiss my granddad goodbye when I'd been to my nan and granddad's house. And he very clearly said, "You are a man now, you don't kiss men anymore." And I must have hit a specific birthday when he decided, I don't know what it was, 25 or something. I think it was about 10 or 11. And I remember thinking, right, well, that's it. No more kissing the old fellas. And I think my granddad Ron, God rest his soul, would have very similar beliefs on at what age is appropriate to ask for a footballer's shirt.
Okay, but just before we come onto the shirt, John, let's deal with granddad.
Yeah.
Dad's dad or mum's dad?
Dad's dad.
I'd have guessed that.
I don't think I ever kissed my mum's dad.
How did it make you feel when he said that?
I shouldn't have gone in with tongs. That's my instant thought. Is I've gone too far.
Coming on, squeeze the ass. People often have a handsy uncle. It's rare that people have a handsy nephew. Yeah. Why is it never that way round? Like a sort of 12-year-old kid is really perfect. Oh, the old cliche, the handsy nephew.
See you later, sweet cheeks. Cheers for the Coke float.
Plenty more where those tangy toms came from.
Oh, well, I mean, the fact I still reference it when I'm 40 suggests, you know, some deep schism was formed there, wasn't it? But I don't know at what age one should stop asking for shirts. I don't mind it as a sort of sweet thing. This angry man, it's like an entitlement thing. It's like, and I agree the price of away days has got extortionate now. I mean, football's always been very expensive in my lifetime. At the top end, it's always been too much. But this idea that because you've, I don't know what game that was, because you've gone up to, you know, Birmingham or Burnley or wherever it was, that you deserve to have a player walk over. And I mean, where does that end? Every away fan can't get a shirt. It was 6,000 Leeds fans at Cardiff. I mean, even if you, they'd have to be down there with scissors, making like a collage, cutting out little bits of their shirt to pass to each fan.
Yeah,
just think, doesn't work.
I don't think they're legally enforceable. I don't think players are legally required to give a shirt to every fan with a sign.
Where does it end? Like, it costs me a lot. I mean, we took our daughter to see Matilda the musical just before Christmas. I wasn't sort of screaming at Trunchbull, give me a smock. I'll come down here. Or at Peyote, they don't give us nothing. I want your smock. I want your hair. I want your wig. It can't be allowed to continue to have a right to expect the clothing off people's. But I mean, it is very biblical, isn't it?
I'd like Bogtrotter's cake.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good in there. It looks very fake. I don't know if we were too close to the front. It looked very fake on stage. But we were sort of to the side, you know, sort of like watching magic from the side. You sort of see he sort of hunches over it and then it disappears into the desk. Very scary, Matilda the musical.
I'm glad I want it to be.
Our daughter absolutely burst into tears. Very upsetting. It's very dark, like thunderclaps, and it's very dark. And the bit where the girl gets spun round by the hair.
Yeah.
And thrown into the distance. I mean, our daughter is just starting school, so it was perhaps the wrong time to take her. And I kept saying, that'll be you next year if you're not careful. Stuff like that. I probably didn't help the situation. You know, that's what your next teacher's going to be like. Year two. Brace yourself.
Meant to be scary, though, isn't it? I mean, it's Roald Dahl, you know, there are always slightly dark elements to his stories.
Yes. What do you think of grown men asking for football shirts?
Pathetic. I mean, unless it's face-to-face, in which case I go, can I have your shirt? I think that's different to verbally.
Have you ever asked?
I think the last time I asked was Steve Stone in 1998. But obviously then I was a
16,
child.
Right? Well, 16.
I would have been 15 because I'd have turned 16 later that year. So that, I was right on the line and I was next to him. I was like, okay, Misha. He said, we're not allowed to give
you that. That's what Steve Stone, right out on the line. Get some chalk on your boots, lad.
And but yeah, now, obviously, there'd be a temptation if you met one of the players after the game. Yeah. Do you know what it'd be? It would be if they were going... if they had the shirt in their hand and it was going in a bin and they're like, chuck them away. And I go, do they all just get chucked away? I'll have it. I might try that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, no, I totally understand the, I want them. You know, if you're a football fan, then players are gods, aren't they? And I think I totally understand the instinct to want a shirt, but I just don't understand the sort of, the willingness to scream that you know, you deserve the shirt. And the footage this week of that woman in the crowd at Newcastle literally trying to rip a shirt out of the hands of a child. That level of it is absolute madness and is indefensible.
Yeah. You know what I've thought about this? And the danger is the more you think about things, the more complicated they get. And I thought, I wonder if she has like a sick child at home. And she's thinking, I need to get this for my...
Yeah, like... of course, right to the club. And I think that's a good way to think. You know, I always try and do that when someone drives badly on the road now. I think, well, maybe somebody's ill and they're rushing to a hospital or something. It's
maybe
too late by then, obviously.
Said, don't touch me, I don't love you.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe they're rushing to an urgent therapy session. Obviously, by then, I've already flashed and flicked them the Vs. But write to the club. They'll send you something, won't they, in these times?
Everyone must be writing to the club.
Do you reckon?
I'll tell you what people always want, as well as tickets and shirts, is... I mean, imagine, I've thought about this so often. Who decides what fans get a round of applause on a significant minute when they've passed away? Because if you think about it, even Forest, right, the stadium holds 30,000. There must be... upwards of 500,000 people, maybe between 500,000 and 1 million people on the planet who would say they were Forest fans. Now, even if you take the stadium, I mean, you've got a few Forest fans every week passing away, tragically. Now, the odds are, given the modern culture where this sort of stuff does happen, a few of them are going to be getting in touch with the club saying, my granddad's died, he was a big fan, can we have a round of applause on the 33rd minute because, you know, 1933.
The 33-year-old granddad. I mean, I've heard a lot about Nottingham, but that really is compounding the stereotype.
He was born in 1933.
I see. Okay.
And he passed away.
He was 90.
Don't you dare speak ill of the dead. But do you know what I mean? You're like, well, then They must all be asking. So, and then
well, there's a certain age at which the majority of fans, luckily, although we tend to focus on the tragedies, most people die at a decent age. I think, to quote your example there of the 33-year-old granddad, if he was born in 1933, then he was 90. It's very difficult to engineer an applause in the 90th minute because most fans are pissed and they'll have forgotten. And because the 90th minute, by then you might be 3-0 down and you really can't have a round of applause orchestrated when you're 3-0 down.
That's why I went for the 33rd minute.
So there is a sort of, it's got to be first half, hasn't it?
33rd minute, because he was born in 1933.
Yeah.
But then who says, oh yeah, he can have a minute's applause, but he can't, or she can have it, but she can't?
Well, I think these nobody at the club decides, do they? I think these things are done on the fan forums and
no, but it's the club sometimes put an image up.
Yes, sometimes, yeah.
So then who decides? Who says? Right, an image of them, but not of them. Oh no, we had one last week. Let's get a fortnight under our belt without having one of these applause things.
Well, I guess some local dignitary. I don't know the Vicky McClaw. I guess they, Carl Froch, I imagine, at Nottingham is their sort of go-to celebrity.
Oh, fuck that. Fuck that. Should have stayed alive, shouldn't
he? Yeah.
Fuck that. Should applaud the living, not the dead.
I imagine they send a full biography of the dead to...
Froch Towers.
Jake Bugg.
He's and a county
that
fan.
Person, he is county. We had him on, didn't we?
We did, friend of the show, friend of the... If you do know how these things are decided, by the way, hello at cpfbl.com.
He's not a friend of the show, is he?
He's been on, he's
Let's
a friend of the show.
Let's just be honest, he's been on while he was promoting a gig. If we walked past him in the street tomorrow, he wouldn't know the fuck either of us were.
If we went...
Let's burst
hello,
this
Hello, and welcome
now.
To the Comedians... Just get in touch, hello at cpfbl.com. If you know how these things are decided at any level, and also, if you've had a minute's applause for someone you know or relative, or if you've applied for one and didn't get it, I'd love to know inside the world.
No, your judgment.
Football grief.
Your judgment for topics, I have to say every now and again, it's just astoundingly bad. I think you're really good. You know, I listen to rock and roll football every now and again. I think you're really, really good at it. You're one of this country. Let's do Rico's hyperbole this week. I'm going to take the feature from you. You're one of Britain's leading come off the back of a song with news of a goal presenters.
Thank you. Genuinely, and I know I've said this before, anytime you pay me a compliment, it really means the world
to me. I know, well, I hold it back. This is your one for 2023, so suck it up and enjoy it. Then every now and again, you know, and I
your granddad would never say to you.
I watch your political interviews and, you know, your ability to, you know, not shy away from asking David Blunkett the harder questions, but equally cozy up to him and have a cheeky laugh. Is wonderful. And then every now and again, I'm presenting a podcast with you and you say, email in if one of your relatives has died and you were denied a minute's applause by the club. And I think, what the fuck are you on? What is wrong with you?
I think, you know, I'm shocked at this reaction because I thought it was the sort of thing that you would think was really good. And I think, wouldn't you love
it's
to read
awful.
That email? Why is it?
Why would I, I love to read an email from a grieving listener to our podcast? With bad news. I mean, there is no possible email that ends well. Either somebody's story is so tragic they've had a minute's applause, in which case I don't want to read about it, especially in January when we're all struggling anyway. Or somebody just says, oh yeah, my granddad had a heart attack at 73 and we emailed the club, but we never heard back. I mean, what email are you hoping for?
Well, maybe someone who says, but what they did say is we can't do it this week because we had one last week. Or my mate used to work at a stadium and this was the process. Or they said, oh no, he died too old. You know, we only do them for people who die under a particular... Just obviously, it could have been a while ago. If it's just happened and it's very fresh in the mind, I'm not expecting you to get in touch at hello at cpfpl.com. Maybe there's a bit of...
Well, what is the cutoff then? What would you describe as recent grief? In the last 3 years?
I am... Look, this is up to the listener, isn't it? It's up to you, dear listener, to decide whether it's appropriate for you to get in touch. I think they are the people. You know, put power in the hands of the people.
Put power in the hands of the people.
You've centralised power at CPFPL too long. It's time to devolve power, as you're doing with your CPFPL team, effectively a form of FPL devolution, to empower our communities and turbocharge our recovery as we build back better.
All right. Well, it's January. It's a bad month. I don't particularly want to read those emails. So perhaps contact Fordy on his own social media channels with your story of grief.
Oh, but do get in touch with TPFPL. Because the problem is Twitter might be not long enough to do justice. Is that bad? Is that too sad?
I just think it's the worst feature you've ever come up with. I think it's absolutely terrible. I wasn't a particular fan of your absolute refusal to let the shit-eating die. I mean, it was an offhand comment about Stephen King book, and you managed to run that for about 3 or 4 months. You even asked our guests, you ever been called a shit-eater? Trying to get a higher class of guest on. Suxie, you ever been called a shit-eater down the arse of fun?
Well, oh my word, it's time for Hit the Post. Now, this is very on brand, given you're saying that sometimes our choice of topic is ill-advised. Elliot Wilson emails a triple threat. Hello, all. And what I love about that, it's not just to you, me, and Danny. That is to every listener here, arguably to the planet. This is addressed, an email. He's basically hit send all to the human race. 8 billion people.
So that's Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin. I mean, who is this guy?
This email, oh God, isn't this, oh my God, just enjoy this opening. This is writing that is right in my groove.
Oh, hello, God. All. Oh, I pictured your bum crack then, isn't that awful? You made me picture your sweaty Taco Bell ridden gooch.
Do you know what I pictured? A huge vinyl record with me in the groove on my back being tickled by the needle.
I had a dream last night that I was staying in somebody's big house. I ran into their toilet. I was busting for a piss. I started having a piss. And I realised it was their swimming pool. I just ran into their swimming pool and started having a piss. What do you think that means?
Rich neighbours is what that means.
I also had a dream that the French national team had lost and I was working for a newspaper. And I came up with the headline, Sac les Bleus.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, mate. Elliot.
Says hello all. This email hits you on multiple levels, making it the perfect thing to work through on the podcast. This is because 1, urinating through a letterbox. 2, free advertisement for John and Lucy's show. 3, I play FPL. I mean, he has got my full attention.
He's got self-confidence, hasn't he? He's got some chops on him, old Elliot.
But he's right. First, the urination story. To keep it short, whilst at uni, I returned home early hours of the morning, full of alcohol, and somehow not on my own. To my horror, I found that instead of retiring to my university room, the entirety of it, bed, side cupboard, chair and all, had been expertly removed and rebuilt in the kitchen. Turns out my friends had left my window open, small enough I wouldn't notice, or able to break in and unlock the door from the inside. To make matters worse, they'd bought a doll and a whip and left it on the bed. In retaliation, the first thing I could think of was relieving myself through their letterbox as the inevitable culprits lived next door. I learned all too late, once I'd finished, that letterboxes have a flap on the inside to stop weather and, as it turns out, my piss. Oh my God, it must have bounced back on him. Secondly, here we go. Wow. This is the first time I've read this, so brace yourself. Secondly, I was in the audience for John and Lucy's new show. And it was surprising to see the level of patience John gave Lucy when she made a mess of her lives. I expected him to be classically irritable, but he looked like he was enjoying himself. So that's a thing. Third, and I've been enjoying the season. If you're looking for any advice, and believe me, no one is. Leeds have a great run of fixtures, and no midfielder in the game has scored more than Rodrigo. Nottingham Hotspur system in the league. Keep up the podcast, gout and all. So he came to see you live. See, this is the thing. He plays FPL, he pissed through a letterbox, and he'd come to see you live.
It sort of seems like he should be our first manager. Should I just give him my team for the week to reward him for pissing through a letterbox and coming to see me live?
Great idea. Elliot, get in touch again, and you will be able to manage John's team this week. He sounds like he knows what he's on about as well, which I'm slightly
he does. Well, I mean, Rodrigo has scored more points than a midfielder, but that's only because he's clearly a striker. It's a baffling decision by the nerds at FPL Towers, but I don't quite understand why he's in the midfield when clearly we're playing him up front. What was the sentence? His neighbours broke into his house, moved all his furniture. I mean, a remarkable commitment to a prank and quite, you know, unique, I guess, you know, shows some devotion, doesn't it, to a prank. And then he says, the first thing I could think to do was piss through their letterbox.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, he's downgraded the fun there, I think. That's sort of like having a food fight. Someone playfully sort of flicks a bit of mash after you and you go and get like a frozen turkey and beat them to death with it. You sort of misunderstood the game there.
But as he's already said earlier in the story, he'd come back from a night on the lash and he needed the toilet at that point.
Yeah. But so he was still able to get in his house.
Well, because
he could have relieved
away.
Himself in his house. They haven't unplumbed his toilet. They've just moved his bed into the kitchen, no?
You've got to get in the mindset of some empathy. You've bust in for a pee. You've come in. Someone has, like, changed your house around in a way that is completely unacceptable. And his body's saying, piss, piss, piss. And he's going, yes, yes, yes. And he's put piss and piss together and got letterbox.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, it is your specialist subject, the mind of the drunk. So I'm not going to query you on it. I guess you must be relieved at this point that in a similar situation, you just go to a range of food outlets.
Yeah, pizza,
Taco Bell, and McFlurry. Can you remember have you got no memory of the McFlurry?
Oh yes, it was an Oreo one.
Was it interesting?
Lovely, and it just
vegan but full of palm oil.
Well, is that, I mean, what, half good, half bad cancels itself out? Basically, it's still a good thing to eat. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. John's Moral Dilemmas. Hello at cpfpl.com. Have you got something that's half good, half bad? John will decide whether it's all good or all bad.
God.
Hear him go, hello at cpfpl. Email us at cpfpl.com. Now, before we go, and I hate to remind you of this, but I don't like having unfinished beeswax. You were going to read out some of my book reviews.
Oh, I was. Yes. How wonderful. All right. Well, let's have a couple of those before we leave. Matt Ford. Oh, wonderful. Thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah. You didn't have to do that.
Well, I enjoyed reading yours out and I felt bad because, as you said, I'd done your DVDs at your best man speech. So.
Yeah. Politically homeless. Here we go. The laugh out loud political book of the year.
Yeah.
Not my words, the words of Matt Ford.
The words of the Sunday Times, who made it one of their books of the year. But sure.
Did they?
Sunday Times book of the year, yeah. Official. Can never be taken away from me as an accolade.
Okay. I mean, I have to say, 60% of reviews 5-star, 85% either a 5 or a 4-star. So you've got to take that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Let's click on the 1-stars.
Because it did get trolled on the day of release by hard left militant activists.
Yeah. I'm not going to read any of their emails out because I don't want that. You know, this show isn't about reinforcing political differences. It's about pure hatred. I want people who just hate you.
Cheers, mate.
So anyone who says war criminal, that's out. I'm not reading that.
A lot. See what I did get? It's quite fun. Here we go.
After spending 4 years wandering the political wilderness, failing to find a home, I thought this book would really speak to me. Unfortunately, despite the grown-ups being back in charge, Ford has the writing ability of a child. Oh, that's by Les. Les did not enjoy that book.
I tell you what I did get was a lot of people who sort of pretending to be outraged at the title, going at a time when actual homelessness is on the rise. Like an insult of a title. You're like, what?
Fabian Newton Edgar. Tedious, mediocre, and insulting to the genuinely homeless.
Imagine, I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Ford dredges his contrived and unbearably smug, incoherent political analysis out of the cesspit of Twitter and slops it into what was frankly a very dull book, lambasting the people who deserve it least. Greal Marxus, 1-star, Dad Crapital. Ford desperately wants to be seen as a good guy, a sensible man, a thinker, a left-leaning, all-round good egg. But he doesn't want to actually vote for left-wing policies.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Schmer.
Ooh, that's me told.
I'm not going to read that one.
Why? Tell me why you're not going
to
read it.
Well, I'm looking for certain keywords.
Yeah.
And, well, the bottom one I chose not to read because it contains a sentence which is the one that upsets me most, and I don't want to tell people what it is because they'll use it against me because this country is filled with people who love exploiting weakness.
Okay.
It's not bad, you know. There isn't really enough of them. Let's check two. Do you know what I like? I like a begrudging three star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's worse, isn't it? It's sort of considered.
They're more people who are genuinely disappointed.
3 stars, a mixed bag. In this book, Matt Ford chooses to give practical expression to his political homelessness by living on the streets for 6 months.
God.
It's a fascinating and touching read as he succumbs to hunger, desperation, and drug addiction.
That's really funny. Fair play to
you. That is very funny. Well done, FFF. And we'll leave that there.
Oh, what a treat of a day.
Yeah.
John, it's been a real pleasure broadcasting alongside you. It always is.
And, yeah.
We are going to get round, by the way, to sorting out some more live shows, but you're going to have
to. Yeah, we'll do another live show, won't we? But in the meantime, you know, if you take anything from this episode, do email in if you've ever suffered a horrific bereavement or if you've experienced something which was a little bit good but a little bit bad.
Oh, I tell you what, actually, though, just talking of books, right at the end here, George has been in touch and said, after listening to the latest episode of John's desire to write another book, what could be more perfect than for the podcast to launch a book on how to be an FPL manager? Make it into an audio book and have Vinny van der Veet narrate it.
Yeah, it's a lovely email. It's not going to happen because I've discovered that I don't like FPL. It's too niche.
John, it's just a merch tie into the pod. The whole
Exactly. There's too many of those shitty books where publishers have spotted a thing that's successful and said, "Why don't you write a crap book?" I get offered loads of them. Why don't you write an anti-relationship book or a book about tidying? Because it'll be fucking rubbish. That's why. I'll be on loose women hawking out this crap. Dead behind the eyes. So, John, why did you want to write this book? I fucking didn't. But I was told to. And so here we are. Too much of that. Right?
Okay. Should we leave it there?
Comedy's crap. Football's crap. Politics is crap. The weather's crap. Palm oil's crap.
One last thing. What's crap?
I'll tell you what. Well, let's end on a positive note. We all look forward to seeing Jorginho Rutter. And hopefully he turns out to be the solution to Leeds United's problem. Although since he's not a defender, I don't think he will be. Because we're actually scoring goals every now and again. We just can't stop. Letting them in at the other end, which apparently is part of football. But maybe, I don't know, maybe Jesse Marsh has made a contact on LinkedIn. Maybe he's talking to someone at the Ministry of Defence as we speak and is getting some M80s or whatever a good weapon is to stop people scoring against us.
We haven't got time to go into this now, but why are you saying LinkedIn like that? You keep saying LinkedIn. Like it's LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn.
No, you keep saying LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
It's LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is going to drive me mad. So remember to get in touch, send us new format ideas. And what do you think is crap? Email us, hello@cpfpl.com. Don't forget to subscribe to anotherslice.com, not only for bonus extra content and advance news on any live dates, but also for the chance to manage John's FPL team. Elliot will do it this week, but for the love of God and your own body, share, subscribe, and leave a 5-star written review. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Telly's crap.